Your faith has saved you, Jesus says. A simple statement, yet with extraordinary complexities all around it. This has to be one of the most challenging of Jesus' sayings. What is faith exactly in this story? And what is salvation for this sinner who has come in from the city into Simon's house? Lest we forget, we have been primed for this story, ready and wondering who will be the next glutton or drunkard, tax collector or sinner, with whom Jesus will become friends. So let's consider the context of this story. Consider who will hear these words that Jesus speaks. He's in Simon's house, and it is filled with dinner guests, and they're all reclining around the dining room table. They're not in chairs like we are accustomed to, but on couches and on foldouts, and they're just relaxing. And one unnamed sinful woman who happens to come into Simon's house. The question I want to leave you with, or not leave you, but I'll answer, but I want you to think on is, why is she unnamed in this story? Because in the next verse of our text, Luke writes, some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Huzza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. They're named, but she's not. So hang on to that question. And why does she go into Simon's house? Maybe she heard of Jesus through his sermon in Nazareth to the hometown crowd and believed him. Or maybe she heard him at the Sermon on the Plain, as Luke puts it, or the Sermon on the Mount, as Matthew puts it, and thought, blessed are the poor, could be true for me too. Maybe she heard about her sister in faith, the widow of Nain, and trusted that if Jesus could bring her literally back from the dead of being husbandless and sonless and having no support system to care for her, that maybe Jesus might, just for a few brief moments, be able to be her friend too. And maybe she heard about these other women who accompanied Jesus, whom Jesus thought and served and said, you know what, I can do what they do too. I can do the same thing they're doing. Her decision to go into Simon's house, her determination to enter into the house where she was not wanted or welcome, is an amazing thing. Her desire to be like the other women who follow Jesus is unusual. These, in all of their ways, are acts of faith by this woman, this unnamed woman, because faith, you see, is also the belief that you are worthy of salvation. You are worthy to sit at the table with the Lord. You are worthy of touching and being touched by God. You are worthy of belonging to the kingdom of heaven that Jesus has been talking about. You are worthy of being called his disciple, his follower. You are not who the Simons of this world say you are, who have categorized you as sinner, labeled you, and then can write you off. You are a beloved child of God. It's an extraordinary act of faith that she undertakes here. Carolyn Lewis writes a blog. She's an older pastor. And she talks about her first call, called Your Faith Has Saved You, into ministry, and how she was removed from her position. She was a Methodist pastor because the new sheriff, as she put it, in town, decreed that no woman should be teaching men. About how her family all but had rejected her for her newfangled beliefs about God, who wanted and needed all, even women, to bring about the kingdom of God in our midst. About how she grew up indoctrinated as to what was right and what was wrong, like most of us, about who was in and who was out, whom God loved and whom God did not love, more importantly. And like Simon the Pharisee, so many of us are so certain about whom God includes that we exclude people just on first glance because they don't look like us, they don't talk like us, they don't smell like us even. Who is worthy of God's love, right? One has to wonder if we spend as much time in the church embodying the faith of this woman that is named in Luke's gospel as we do figuring out about those whose faith is different than ours, how much closer the church would be to living in the kingdom of God today. Right? Jesus said the kingdom of God is breaking in amongst you right now. We don't have to wait till we die to get into this kingdom. It can happen, and it does happen for us. Yesterday was a great example of it, that that moment where we're just together, just being who we are, sharing in the laughter, sharing in the joy, sharing in the food, sharing in the fellowship, sharing in the conversation, watching the kids enjoy themselves and the adults for that matter too. A kingdom moment. But you see, behind this story that is in Luke's gospel of this unnamed woman, which makes her every woman or every man or every child who has been told for whatever reason that they don't belong at the Lord's table, that they are not invited into the kingdom of God, who suppose or assume that the good news of God does not apply to them, that that's not what God has to offer. All right? So every once in a while, somebody like this woman in our story, this unnamed woman, therefore, who is any woman, comes along and says no and yes. Says no and yes. Someone who says no to those who would keep her at bay. No to those who pull away as she enters into the room. She's a sinner. What kind of prophet is Jesus that he doesn't recognize this sinner from the streets? No to those who snicker and sneer and snarl when she dares to express her love and touch this rabbi. Oh my gosh. That's not done. Not in Palestinian first century. And someone who says yes. Someone who says yes to Jesus because she believes that Jesus sees her. Do you see this woman, Simon, that you have categorized as a sinner? And clearly, Simon has seen her. He has seen an image of a sinner. That's what he's seen. He's just seen a label. But he doesn't know her. He doesn't know her struggles. He doesn't know anything about her. And yet Jesus can see into her. And he favors her. He regards her, because to be seen is to be favored. To be regarded is to experience salvation itself. She is not having to wait to come and belong at the Lord's table. She doesn't have to wait till Jesus has gone to Calvary and died on the cross. Right now, right here, she is experiencing salvation. And she offers that hope for every one of us that feels that somehow we're not worthy of God's love, that there's something about us that is defective and deficient, and that somehow we don't belong at his table. She shows that every one of us has a right to show that we love Christ and that we have a right to be loved by Christ. She shows us through her actions, somebody who speaks truth by her actions, and by her actions says, I am also worthy to join my sisters, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Huzza, and Susanna, and many others. For she, with you and with I, will serve the Lord as any disciple should. Rightfully should. And she takes her place alongside the Lord in confidence, to which Jesus says, your faith, your amazing faith and trust in me has saved you. That's what it's about. Trusting God to love you enough to save you from anything that would separate you from his love. Amen.
Praise.
Worthy of praise.
I will follow. Knock it on.